You turn in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 6. We're kind of going through a series on, not kind of, we are going through men and women of the Bible who God called and used in amazing ways, and learning from their lives and learning from their specific calls that God put on their lives. And so today is Gideon, and I cannot say that name, Russell, without remembering Gideon, passion for the youth. Is good if he's listening, because many times when I do those things, those guys are listening from, where is he now? Philippines. Yeah, good South African friend. So this morning we're going to talk about Gideon. He was a man of passion, and my friend Gideon was a man of passion in Mwanza, in Pretoria, been in too many cities. So, Father, we pray this morning you would calm our hearts, you would help our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and have your way. Thank you for the healing of bodies. Thank you for the healing of minds and relationships today. And I just commit this service, your word, into your hands today. May you take the words I speak and by your Spirit bring them to life, and may you anoint the ears that listen to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let's just read a bit of his story. It's too much to read it all. If you know your Bible stories, we talked about Moses, Abraham, Rahab, Joseph. These are all amazing stories that you learn about if you've grown up in a church at all through Sunday school, and we study their lives. And Gideon is one of those guys. There's just three or four things I want to pull out of his life this morning that spoke to me, and I hope it'll speak to you. And so let's read in chapter 6. Just as you're turning to chapter 6, if you know the story of Judges, after Joshua, Pharaoh changed, everybody forgot what God had done. And at the end of the book of Judges, there's a very telling verse there. And I just want to read it to get the wording right. It's better than my English. But the very last couple of verses of Judges says, at that time, the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each to his own inheritance. It's kind of this to their own thing. And in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. And some translations will say, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it's kind of a picture. Someone help this young boy. Thanks. Usually when you carry them out like that, they'll say over the father's shoulder, pray for me. Asher, we pray for you today. I wish I was preaching on Asher out of the Bible this morning. Maybe it should change. Gideon. So let's look at chapter 6. So it's a period, it's not a healthy period in the nation of Israel. It's gone sideways many ways after this amazing time of Joseph and all the things that happened, and now Israel is in a bad state, and God sends these judges, men and women, to rule and to bring order back to the country. And so Gideon is our man today. In chapter 6 it says, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Man, these guys, they just couldn't get it right. It sounds a lot like us today. That's what I'm trying to say. And let's down to verse 7, just to not read so much. And when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said this, what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I brought you up out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery, and I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. Again, it feels like we're living in the time of Judges in a way. Everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. Everyone having a tough time to actually listen to the Word of God. I think Eric has said it many times on the on the Life in the Word sessions and over the last season of the importance of the Word of God. Listening to it, obeying it, understanding it, reading it. God help us. There's never been a time when we've had more of the Word of God available to us, and yet so many people are just Bible illiterate. And God help us. I'm saying that seriously this morning. God help us to know what the Word of God says. But here we go, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. So they were hiding. I don't want to go into the whole story. This is a terrible time. But he was grinding the wheat. He was doing it secretly because they were running for their lives. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If I have your favor, or I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking." This guy is thick. Eh? That's us. "Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." So that he does it. He brings his offering. Verse 23, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' And to this day, it stands in Ophrah at the Abiezrites." That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. I need to read one more verse because I'm going to use it in my sermon. Verse 34, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning everyone together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. And Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wolf fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew on it, on the fleece, and on the ground is dry, then I will know.'" So he just keeps going. I don't know. I think if I saw an angel of the Lord sitting under the oak tree and he called me about four times, and maybe not. Maybe somebody needed to hear that this morning. Maybe you needed to lay that fleece out there, and God can answer by the method that he chooses. So Father, I pray this morning you'll bless your word. I pray, God, you'll open our hearts to the things that you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So, Dave, I think it's me, but I'm hearing voices in my head, kind of an echo. So I don't know what that is. If it's fine with you, leave it as it is. I didn't have a lot of compassion for my wife when she had telling me about tinnitus. So for about a month, I can hear this nice music playing inside my head right now. I rebuke it in Jesus' name, but I definitely have a lot more compassion for my wife. And if you suffer with tinnitus, I pray for you today that that noise would stop in Jesus' name. Part of the problem when you're a preacher, when you speak, you push pressure back into your sinus and your ears. And it's if the devil can attack in a way, if you're a singer, he'll go for your pipes. If you're a preacher, he'll go for your, I don't know what they're called, but the tubes that should be open, they're not open. So I'm not going to holler very much today. So you should be thankful for that. Number one, what do we learn from Gideon? God chooses, not us. You know, we've had these conversations in small groups, life groups, wherever we've been. How did you get saved? Were you looking for God? Or are you like Saul, who was running to terrorize a church and God met him on the road? All of us have a testimony that God came and found us. God came and called us. He chooses. He's the one. He's sovereign. He gives us the faith even to believe that little bit of faith that we have is a gift from Him. The Spirit of God comes upon us and we are regenerated. And in that moment, we cry out, Abba, Father. And we can get confused and think, I decided that. It was the Spirit of God in us. No man says Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God comes upon our life and quickens us and gives us eyes and ears to think and to see the spiritual world again and to cry out to God. It's a gift from Him. And so as you read this story, we don't have a lot of history about Gideon, but it seems like he's just busy trying to do right, grind some wheat, fighting off the, you know, he knows the stories of what God's done for his forefathers. He repeats it to the angel, and he doesn't seem that surprised when the angel comes and talks to him. He's kind of questioning, so he has some experience going on, but it's God shows up in the middle of the story and calls him for a purpose. And I just want to put an emphasis on that this morning, on your life and my life. God is the one who shows up. God is the one who brings the surprises into our lives. And I believe He wants to speak, and I believe He is speaking more and more to this generation, to us, in ways that are amazing if we will open up our ears and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. I always liked Billy Graham's, you know, my friend Billy. We were like that. That was me over there. You say there's no reward for using your gift. You know, God gives us gifts. He blesses us with gifts. Everyone has gifts, natural gifts, spiritual gifts. God uses us. He blesses us, and we could take time and speak about those gifts. But there's no reward for using them. It's a gift from God. What the reward is for being faithful, for being obedient with what God has given you. And so, as my friend Billy used to say, that, you know, when he didn't go looking to be called an evangelist. God called him into the ministry and called him to be an evangelist. And his testimony was that when he spoke and when he preached, people responded and got saved. And it was a gift from God. And when people responded, and I've shared this many times, he would step back and begin to pray. And when we were at the meetings with him, sitting with leaders in Calgary some years ago, he's the one who said when he steps back to pray, it wasn't praying for the people, he's praying for himself, that he would not allow pride to enter his heart. He's just doing what God had given him a gift and calling to do. And so when God calls you to do something, God invites you in. Don't let the gift become bigger than the relationship with God. Let your obedience to God be what matters. Let Him deal with the fruit. Let Him deal with what comes from obedience. Sometimes you'll see great fruit and sometimes you won't. But it's, am I obedient to God? Am I listening to God? Am I faithful to Him? Another thing about a gift or a calling from God is that you have to use it or you'll lose it. Could speak on that all morning. Every time Jesus talking to his disciples says, he teaches them about their talents and about their gifts and not hiding it and using it and blessing people with it and allowing God to include us together with him in what he's called us to do. We love to sing that song, "He gives and takes away." Oh, I hate that when he takes away. It's so easy to sing it. I remember Glenn, our friend, Waterston, singing that at funerals. And you know, when you sing it in a happy church setting, it's "He gives and takes away." And you sing that in a solemn setting, "He takes away." It's his choice. It's his calling. It's him. He is sovereign over our lives. David said in Psalm 47, "He will choose our inheritance for us." Amen? How many of these verses you want me to keep repeating? You know, he has our lives, our story written in the book. He knows the plans he has for us. Do we have a part in it? Of course. But God has a plan and he has chosen our inheritance. He's laid it out for us. I was reading in 2 Kings. I wanted to go there and read it, but maybe I'll just shorten it. But the lady who Elijah spoke to and blessed, and I'll give you the reference in case you care, 2 Kings 8, verse 3 to 5. And he sends her away, and she goes to Egypt and to avoid the famine. She's gone for 7 years. And then the prophet is sitting there with the king, and this is 7 years later, and they're discussing this thing. And who walks into the room but that woman? And he says, "That's her." I mean, it's 7 years later, and God points and puts this amazing thing together. Another more well-known story is Mordecai and Haman. You know that story, right? And Mordecai, he unearths this whole plot that they have against the king and saves the king and does this whole thing, and then it's all forgotten about. And a long time later, the king can't sleep. Just by chance, the king can't go to sleep. So he's laying in his chambers, and he asks, "Let the records come and let them be read to me." And they start reading, and they read the story of Mordecai. And the king's, you know, it just happens. You know, it just happens. The king says, "What was ever done for Mordecai?" And they say, "Nothing." And they say, "Well, what should we do for him? Who's that coming in the door?" And who's the guy? Haman. He walks in, and he says, "What would you do for those, you know, the king wants to honor?" And Haman's sure it's him. But he says, "Oh, this is what I'd do. I'd put a ring, you know, on the coat. I'd get him on a horse, and I'd lead him through." Okay, he says, "Okay, go and do that for Mordecai." I love that story. Like, you can't make this stuff up. God is working. God has got plans that you and I know nothing about, and he chooses to bring us into them. And last week, Eric was talking about Rahab and just how God winds and all these events and stories in people's lives, and it's not by accident. And we have choices. We are accountable for what we choose. But God is working through and in everything in our life, and he wants to bring together this amazing inheritance for us. I always like the story of Zacchaeus up the tree. I remember in Tanzania, people didn't mind if we preached for 3 or 4 hours. Is that okay? If you don't mind? Because I used to love to tell the stories. You get the sycamore tree, and used to talk about, and somebody planted that thing. And then somehow God protected that sycamore tree from being eaten by some big ugly camel that would come along. You see, if I was in Tanzania now, we could have a lot of fun around this camel and eating the sycamore. But God spared that tree, and he had a purpose for that tree, and that thing grew, and it takes a long time to grow a sycamore tree. Go read the history of it. That's a sermon for another day. And in that moment, Jesus is passing under that sycamore tree. Old Zacchaeus is hanging in the tree, and God looks up and says, "Come down. I'm going to come to your house today." I don't know about you, but when I read through this story after story after story, you see God's perfect timing in it. Sometimes you think it was our wisdom, our goodness. You know, I just happened to get my, you know, word in at the right moment, and I just happened to get my CV at the right place, and this came about, and this happened. No, God is working details after details in our life. And Gideon is an example of that. God is sovereign. And when he decides to move, he moves. And he includes us. We'll get to those points in a minute. What's going on in your life today? maybe we'll never, ever in the history of this church, ever again, have this particular group of people. So what is it God's trying to say? What is it that God wants to do in your life, my life, in our lives together in this moment? What's he saying to you today? What's he speaking to you today? Through the singing, through the communion, through whatever, God is speaking. And I pray that we will open our ears and we'll listen to the Spirit of God. Can I give one more? Thanks. Years ago, and I've shared this testimony, so I'm not sharing the whole story, but years ago, we came back to Canada. We felt God speak to us. He was going to take care of us. And I was complaining, not complaining, but saying, God, you know, we've been gone for years and years. We have nothing. How can we live there? And we walked into a church in Drayton Valley because we had stayed at Lori's mom and dad's that Saturday night, called the pastor, and he said, you know, I just did a funeral. I'm tired. Just come and speak. So that Sunday, I speak in Drayton Valley. Make a long story short, Tony Abbott is the MLA for that area of Alberta. He's in the meeting. He says, do you need a place to stay? And I'm thinking, oh, I do, but I don't want to stay in Drayton Valley. I'm like Gideon. Thanks for providing a house, Lord, but not in Drayton Valley. No. He says, no, I'm the MLA for this area, so I have to stay here, but I have a house in Edmonton. Would you like to stay there? And I'm getting more interested. And he says, for free. I said, well, let me pray about it. No, I didn't. He says, this was Sunday. He says, okay, come Monday, because I got to get busy on Tuesday. So Monday come, he gives me the key, fully furnished, everything. Everything, and I've shared this testimony, so you know, right down to the swimming pool, to the spoons, to the sheets, to the everything. And he says, when you leave, which was 6 months, put the key under the door, and you're welcome. How do you plan that? Do I look smart enough to figure that out? Don't answer that. I are quite smart. No, God just orchestrated. I'm trying to get from Gideon's life. When I read his story, this guy is just busy grinding wheat, trying to survive, trying to hide from the enemy, and God shows up and speaks to him and says, I'm going to use you. Number two, he qualifies those he calls. You know that saying many, many times. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies those he calls. And I was thinking about this morning, if we had to be qualified, I probably wouldn't be standing right here. It's like he calls us and then he equips us. And he says to Gideon, just go in the strength you have. Go with what you have. And Gideon's given him all these things. I'm the least, my tribe's the least, and I'm the least, and everything's the least. And God just says, didn't I send you? Aren't I the one who's called you? Aren't I the one that's with you? Go in the strength you have. And if there's ever a lesson that we need today, is to just take what you have and serve God with it. Yeah. I love that our offering, you know, I know you think preachers always love offerings, but we do, just so you know. It's no secret, because we got to pay bills. But it's like, it's not about the bills. It's about our hearts. And so when God says, go with what you have, man, that's all you can do. And step up and say, okay, this is what I can do, this is what I have, and I'm going to do it. So here's a quote. What does God want you to do? Do you find it impossible to believe? The truth is, whatever God wants from you, it probably be even more impossible than you could imagine. Yet when you obey him and trust him each step of the way, it will make sense what he wants you to do. God is accomplishing his purposes on earth through men and women today. It is a great thing to be obedient to God and to be part of his plan. Amen. I want to say this. Not one of the people in the Bible felt qualified. So if you're not feeling qualified, you're in good company. I don't know if I'm up to this. I don't know if I can do this. God, what do you want from me? Then you're probably in the right place to be used of God. because you'll depend on him. If you can make your dream come true, it's probably too small of a dream. You need to get a bigger dream. You know, Russell, your plane, I'm ashamed of your plane. Get a bigger one. That's an inside joke. You've heard the story, right? The old event, I don't even want to name names, but he's preaching away on TV, and he's literally, this is not made up stuff. This is, why can't we get away with this stuff? God says to him, your plane embarrasses me. Get a bigger one. So I did. I like that. Len, your caravan embarrasses me. It worked for him, so it's like he's got a bigger plane. I want the XL model, hallelujah. With the plaid seats. Come on. If you can make your dream come true, it's probably not from God. God gives us impossible things to do, where we have to depend on him and where we have to put our faith in him and we must trust him. And I don't always get it, how it works. And it's often not the way we think it's going to work out. And so I don't blame Gideon. He's putting those fleeces out there. And God's putting the dew on the one side and the ground is dry. And then he does it the opposite. And it's like, I need to know you're with me. And I think God is okay if you have that prayer in your heart to I need to know you're with me, God. I'll do anything. Just let me know you're with me. Just give me something. And God has a way of answering those prayers and making a way for us. The next thing is, what is right is seldom popular. What's popular is seldom right. And it says in verse 27, each of these I'm taking out of a verse and I'm not taking time to read them, but it says, and he did as the Lord told him to do, verse 27. So if you're writing things down, it's the first one God chooses. He came and sat down in verse 11. The second one, he qualifies those he calls. He says, go in the strength you have, verse 14. And now this is verse 27. He says, it's, and he did as the Lord told him to. What did he do? He had to go tear down the altar of Baal. He had to go down and tear down what the people were worshiping. And he did it at night because he's afraid of them. But he was faithful to God, and he tore down those altars. And God saw, like, what I'm taking from that is part of his preparation for what God's going to use him for. Is he had to learn those lessons first. God had to test his heart. If I go back to Abraham, offering up his son, Joseph, going through years of the pit and the prison to the palace, finally to the place where God can trust him, not just with a little bit, but with the wealth of the entire world. And Gideon has to go through this process. What process are you in right now? What process am I in? What's God working in your spirit right now? Is it comfortable? Probably not. Then you know God is working. Then you know God is stretching you and growing you. All you muscle builders, I know you think I'm into fitness, but you muscle builder guys, you know that what builds, I'm drinking like 6 bottles of water here. Sorry. You muscle builders, like myself. I'll put these ones far away. It's not good to get old, you guys. I'm just warning you right now. It's not fun. You know that to grow a muscle, you got to rip it, right? You got to tear it, and then it heals, and you tear it. You want to grow up in the things of God? You're going to get... My good friend RT used to say, you know, if there's 2 lines for to grow in the anointing, this one is come and I'll lay my hands on you. Come and you'll go through trials and tribulations. And what actually grows patience and growth in your life and spirit, come in this line. We'll all line up in this line. But I love, you know, I haven't had people like Ortiz had pray for him. He said, I've had every guy you've heard of pray for me, and I thank God for it. I believe in praying for one another. But he said what grew the anointing was going through this. You know, and he went to, what's that little church in England where he used, Westminster Chapel. He replaced Martin Lloyd-Jones. This is his testimony. Can you imagine following Martin Lloyd-Jones after Charles Spurgeon? Just, you know, little guys like that. And then it's your call to go there. And he's an American, he's in England, and he's an amazing preacher and teacher. But he gets there, and he hears the little comments. You know how the enemy just, he's not quite the doctor, is he? It's like, he's not quite, you know, as good as the last guy. And it's like, oh, but what grows your muscles, grows your spiritual strength is those challenges. You know, you don't pray for patience and then don't expect to get held up in the lines and everybody to cut you off and everything to go wrong, because that's how you grow patience. It's like God wants to grow us into what he's calling us for. Are you allowing him? Are you still failing the same tests over and over and over? Am I still doing the same mistakes over and over and over? Am I learning and moving and going forward in the things of God? I've heard people say this many times, when I get set up, I'm going to do something for God. You'll never get set up. You'll be waiting to your, I don't know, what age. Just obey God. Do what you can for God. Give what you can. Serve as you can. Obey what he asks you to do. You say, well, that's not much. Obey. And you'll be amazed to the next level and the next thing that God takes you into and walks you through. So there can be no compromise. When I think of Gideon's life, as he's going through this story, if you just read his story, how God progresses, works through him, and uses him to the end when they go and destroy the Midianites, 135,000 men with 300. God's prepared that guy. From this guy who's saying, I'm the least, to the guy to the, you know, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, and they take on the whole nation. The last one is, use the little that God has given you. And I've touched on this already. But the Bible says in verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Amen? I don't know if you're like me, but I like circling those words. Then. It reminded me of the story of David. If you go back to Samuel, when God spoke to David, well, the Bible says, and David heard it. That was like Goliath's been shouting at the Israelites for days and days and days and days, and everybody's been hiding. But that verse says, then David heard it. Finally, somebody heard it. Somebody with ears to hear. Somebody who had the Spirit of God. And with this story, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blows his trumpet and calls all the people together. I love that story. It's like God's been calling, God's been working, God's been preparing this guy, and then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he steps up and he blasts his trumpet and he does what God wants him to do. He uses 300 against 135,000. You know, it's like feeding the 5,000. How many stories do you want us to go through? God wants us to know it's only him who could have done it. Yeah. So you know his story with his 10,000 men, and they go for a drink, and God picks out 300. He says, send the rest home. That's Gideon's story. So what do we take out of Gideon this morning? I know God's called me. I want to be obedient to what he calls me to do when he calls me to do it, whatever it is. Whatever it is, I want to learn to grow in my calling and in my obedience so that I can do greater things God could trust me with more finance. God could trust me with greater things in the kingdom of God. God could use me to witness. God could use me to preach. God could use me to do business. Whatever God is calling you into this morning, we want to grow in it. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes. And that sweet oil, the sweet fire of God, the power, the anointing of God hits and changes everything. From it being a hard task, from it being something I have to do, something I'm working at, to where it's the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Changes everything. And I love the ending of the story. They go, you go ahead and read it for yourself, but he says, I'm going to go up there, and he listens, and God gives him, and he listens to the man's dream, and it just happens again that they get close, and they hear the one guy telling his friend about the dream he had, and he said, you know, Gideon's going to destroy us, and Gideon takes that as a sign from God that this is our time, and he makes this plan, and he sends the guys with these little lanterns and their trumpets or whatever they got, and he sends them around, and at the right moment, at the right time, they break the vases and the fire, and everybody starts killing themselves. End of story. I love it. So where are you at now? Let's end. A little given to God can accomplish much. Do you believe that? So what do you got to give to God this morning that could accomplish much? What's the little you have right now that you could give? Your faith, your time, your heart, your family, your finance. What? What is it that God's asking from you today? I've been asking that for myself this week. What is it that God wants from me? And I know some things that God's speaking to me about. And I know what I have to do. The challenge is, am I going to do it? The challenge is, am I going to bend my knee? Am I going to be like Gideon and end up with this amazing victory and see the hand of God because I was obedient? Or am I going to miss the opportunity? Am I going to say, well, maybe that's not God speaking. Maybe I should just take a little more time. Maybe, you know, I'm not up to this task. Maybe I'm the wrong guy. Maybe someone else should do this. What's God saying to you? What are you waiting for? And I pray this morning that each one of us would just say, okay. You know, I'm glad I'm saying this after our offering, because some of you would say, no, listen, our offering was amazing. Thank you for giving. I know some of the sacrifice. I know. But I want to tell you something. There's a joy in giving. When you're hanging it out there and you're telling the devil he's a liar, you're a liar, devil. God's faithful. God's going to provide. And you just take steps of faith and you just say, you know, and I've encouraged husbands and wives, talk about your steps of faith together so that you don't, you know, so you don't have to wrestle with it later at home. Why did you do that? No, I just trust in God. Okay, but then we got no diapers and nothing. But if you guys work that out together, then there's a joy in having no diapers. You know what I mean? And there's a joy in sacrifice. Like when it costs you something, when it takes faith to do it. That's why I say if you can dream it and do it, it's probably too small. The dream is... there's a couple of dreams that I have for this church I wished I could share, but it's like, I don't want to be like Joseph and then get thrown in the pit and then wait for 22 years and I'll say, ha ha, I told you, I was right. No. So I'm hiding them in my heart. But it's like, what's your dream for your family? Do you have a dream for your family? Do you have a dream for your kids? Do you pray stuff that shocks you for your children? What are you believing for? I don't know. Are you just trying to survive this week? You know, if there's one thing that this last 2 years have killed in people, a lot of people, is the thinking long term and the future and what I'm going to do for God. And that's why I come back to our offering. I'm thankful we're on this side of it. You guys being faithful, you guys, you know, we said it'd be great if we could raise 70,000, and if you raise 100 or 90, whatever, five, whatever, I don't care. You got to know the courage that puts in me as a leader of this church, and not just me, us. We can do stuff. We can tell the devil he's a liar. We can move things. We can do some stuff. Eric and I had the privilege of meeting with I don't want to get killed for dreams, but why not dream, right? So we had the privilege of meeting with a guy, and this is all recorded, so I don't name things, and he's one of these guys. He's my age, and I'm sitting there in his office, and I'm thinking, you rascals. The same years of my life. What happened is their relatives came to Minnesota just like, actually his wife's side were probably related. That's how crazy this world is, the more you talk. And anyhow, so they came, and then they got free land up in Saskatchewan, just like my parents. Then they moved down here. And so he's here in Edmonton. We're here. We're in Bible school. We go the poverty route. We go, you know, missions. We go trusting Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't regret anything, okay? I'm a very happy guy. This is me, happy. But now I'm sitting in his office, and we're talking about land for this church and what we could do and what's the possibilities and how would we move from here to the next and what God wants, because this isn't us, okay? Is that okay? This is us with Jesus. This is great. It keeps the weather off of us, but what does God want for us? If you don't think we need to pray and trust God for greater things, just go back there with the Sunday school and enjoy yourself for a while. But it's like, okay. So I'm sitting with this guy with his long ponytail and his cowboy buckle, and he's an amazing guy, Christian guy, loves the Lord. And I'm sitting there thinking, so our two paths did quite well together until we hit Edmonton. And as I said, I went this route, and he went that route. So he's showing us on the map, and he brings this big picture of all of Edmonton. Okay, these are my properties here and here and here, and these are what you can, you know, this is what you can do, and this is how churches operate, and you could probably get 40 to 80 acres out in the west side, and then you could subdivide, and, you know, if you sell this, we can put up a steel structure, we can do these things, and just happens, you know, he owns 20 of those. And I'm like... Jesus. But he sent us, Eric sent me a nice text this morning from, and if Eric, if you're listening to this, enjoy Florida. And he had written to his friend. And so, anyhow, some amazing thoughts that those guys have. And God wants to use all of those guys, us guys, you guys, businessmen, people who have vision, people who have plans. And somehow, all this stuff comes together to build the kingdom of God. That's what I get out of Gideon. I don't know what you get out of Gideon, but I get with 300 people, we take the whole city. Yeah, amen? Amen? Yeah. We don't need millions. We just need you and me. Yeah. We just need God on our side. You will be amazed. Maybe, who knows, one of these days someone just says, you know what, this church has this and this and this issues. Why don't you just take it over? Why don't you have the property? Why don't we swap? I don't know. I'm speaking stuff into the air this morning. But I believe like Gideon, man, if God is with us, who can stop us? And God will give us the wisdom. God will give us that plan. You know, you put 100 there and 100 there and 100 there, and at the right moment, hallelujah, we take on the whole place. We own everything. Why not? What's your plan for your family? What's your plan for your life? You got one. And I pray it includes the family of God in it. It's not like we all got to scatter now and go, well, I got to find something really good. No, we got something good. And when God brings it together and us together, we're better off. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So I'm not praying for a church to close, because that means people are praying for our church to close. I'm praying that they'll get so massive, they'll just say, here's this 600-seater building, you have it, we don't need it anymore. And we could, think of that, if churches did that. And we could say to churches, here's a building of 250, here, have it. Why not? We need 80 acres, God can give us 80 acres. No problem. Right, Russell? Your little pitiful acres embarrasses me, Russell. Get a bigger one. I'm glad you're laughing. But it comes down to our personal lives. Are we going to obey God? He chooses our inheritance. And I know that he has set my tent in a spacious place. And he's going to stretch out those boundaries of my life and my family and my ministry and my kids and everything. Why not? Yeah. Why not? Father, this morning I pray for each one of us sitting here today. Whatever it is that you've been speaking to this household about, us together as a church, but us as individuals as well. I pray, God, that we would take those steps of faith. I pray that we would hear the Spirit of God. I pray we'd be like a David. We'd finally someone with ears would hear the Goliath shouting. Yeah. And I think of the church. I pray that right in this room, there would be those who hear what the devil's been screaming about the church, and they would rise up and do something about it. Yeah. They would rise up and do great things for God. I pray for husbands and mothers and wives and children and young adults. I pray, God, that you would put dreams in people's hearts. You would call them. And I just see the angel of the Lord coming and sitting down and speaking to one another. Lord, I pray today you would speak. You would speak today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.